starting at the fifth verse. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as if by the flood of Egypt. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Oh, Father, we need you. We need your promises. We need to see you do what it is that you've said you were going to do. We need you. Today, we're asking that you would be in this place in a real way, that we would get it, that we would understand who you are and whose we are, that we would have a sense of hope that is not quenchable, a sense of hope that is so real that we can taste it, a sense of hope that is so real that we are empowered and moved to be the people that you have called us to be. Be glorified in this place this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God, because he is worthy. We worship God because he is good. We worship God because he is worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor, all power. And I don't know why we're not more excited. Amen. You know, this is the real deal. We serve the real God. He is the one who created all things. He created everything. There was nothing but him. And he spoke, and it all is. That's a good thing. That's a real thing. And we ought to recognize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are something special made by someone who is special. God is good. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to hone in on who you are today. Reveal yourself to us in a very special and real way. Reveal yourself to us. We need you. Without you, we can't do this. Without you, it doesn't make any sense. Without you, this is a waste of everyone's energy and time. Lord, we're asking that today you would show up, that you would show up in a way that will glorify your name and will change our hearts and make us to be the people that you have called us to be, will make us the people that you want, that you have desired, will make us people that confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make us a people that is saved, delivered, changed, made different. Make us a people that know their God, and because they know their God, they will do great exploits. Make us a people that is yours and no one else's. Make us your people. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. We're seriously rewriting this sermon, Mary. So we are going to start with the end, and then we will pop back to chapter 7, but right now we're going to start in chapter 9, and we'll start at the 11th verse. I know that the section that we chose started at verse 5, but I want to start at 11. I want to show you why we can have hope. I want to show you that in spite of all of the stuff that goes on in your life, all of the craziness, all of the mess, all of the stress, all of the hurt, all of the pain, all of the things that are going on, in spite of all that, we can have hope, a gnosa hope, a hope that keeps us happy and alive and joyful. Not happy because it feels so good necessarily, not happy because it looks so good necessarily, but happy because we know that in the end we are with Him. In the end, He will continue to show His blessings in us and through us and around us. In us, because He's changed us, made us different. Through us, because of us, other people, other things will be blessed around us. We will get to see the beauty of His presence, the wonder of who He is. Our God is so amazingly good. Starting at the 9th chapter, the 11th verse. 9th chapter, the 11th verse. There will come a day, this very special time. It says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. It's really interesting. He didn't say house of David, so, which is like this permanent structure. He said tabernacle of David, this thing that sometimes it fell down. You know, we used to have some friends that had some Jewish ancestry, and they would build booths. And those booths, during a hard rain or a strong wind, could literally blow down. And so they would be celebrating, but those things could fall apart. That's how it was, that those booths were not this permanent thing. So they had to constantly being changed and being rebuilt. In that day, God says He's going to raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. You see, because they were in dire straits. Things weren't so good. They looked around and they have seen all of the things that God said would happen had happened to them. They were a mess. It wasn't what they really wanted. It was going to be a really tough time. In fact, Amos is prophesying here 2 years before this major earthquake would shake everything. Everything would roll, and it was this is one of those huge earthquakes that's coming. He said, David is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. He's going to build it again. He's going to build his people. He's going to build the people that are called of God. He is going to strengthen the people that are called of God. Do you ever feel like you need to be strengthened? Do you ever feel like you need to be built? Do you ever feel like you need to have some power in life? Do you ever feel like you need to have something going on in your life? Well, he is building up the breaches thereof and will raise up his ruins, and I will build as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden. See, it's not just the confines of the physical Israel. He's going to get all the Gentiles too. He's including us. We're included in this process. And all of the heathen, I hate to tell you, that's us. You heathen, you. Oh, my goodness. All right. Anyway. So, which are called by my name. Don't miss that part. The world may see you as a bunch of heathens, but we need to be the heathens called by his name. Yeah. Are you getting that? You see, we're messed up. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Is that true? Is it true that all of us are messed up? All of us are broken. All of us are hurting. All of us are frustrated. All of us have challenges with this whole thing. We're a mess, and without him, we can do nothing. It's only by grace we're saved. And so here we are. All of us are just these heathens. In fact, without him, we might do anything. Some of us have tried to do anything with him. It didn't work so well. But the reality is that here we are, the heathen, the messed up, the Gentile, those that seem to be outside the very promises of God. That's us. That's me and you. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not you. But it certainly is me. I need him. I need God. I need Jesus. Without the Spirit of the living God, I can do nothing. And all of the me's which are called by my name, by his name, are named by the name of Jesus. They are Christ followers, that are those who have been changed, that are those who have given themselves over to him, those that have accepted the fact that he died on the cross, he spilled his blood so that my sin could be paid for. Saith the Lord that doeth this. The Lord's doing it. Behold, look at this now. Behold, pay attention. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. I mean, it's going to be such a rich, rich, rich harvest. It's going, I believe that we are going to experience a rich harvest. We're going to have a rich harvest, that the guy who's trying to break up the fallow ground is going to be almost run over by the reaper, the one who is taking it in. There's so much that's being birthed. There's so much. And the treader of grapes, the one that's processing it so that we can consume it, that treader of grapes, he's going to run over the person that's sowing the seed. So it's this continuous cycle, and we spiral up into a place of wonder and greatness of God, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine. It's going to be wonderful because we're in the very presence of God, and all the hills shall melt with the heat of the Spirit of the living God that falls on us. Let the fire of God fall on us. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel. No longer will you and I be captive to the stuff of this world. We'll be moved away from the prison of sin. Sin has so gripped our hearts that even though we know we're free, we don't know how. You know, Peter was in a prison. And the door came open. He didn't even know it. Some of us are free, and God is calling us to walk out. Some of us are free, and God is calling us to be different, to change, and we don't even know yet that we're free. We don't know what free looks like. We've forgotten what free is because maybe we never even knew. Maybe we've never been free. Maybe we've never had the joy of the Lord, but it's time for us to learn how to celebrate His goodness. It's time for us to learn how to celebrate His grace. It's time for us to recognize that there is something different. We have been changed and we have been made to eternally be with Him. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you got to know Him today. You got to want Him today. You've got to allow Him to move in such a way that He is given the glory, because His glory will be our joy. I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities. When I look around, I'm brokenhearted. When I look around, I am brokenhearted. I'm tired of what I see. I'm frustrated. Just look at the silliness of the sports world right now. It's always been silly. We just fooled ourselves into believing it was okay and something for us to strive for. But you know, there's you know, those guys are easy picking. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to just lay it on them. They're not the only sinners out there. They're not the only one that's falling for this foolishness. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's us. The people out there that are messing up are the product of what we have not done well. Do you understand? If revival would start here, we could change this community. No more drug-addicted children. No more babies being born without their fathers in the house. No more lying and cheating, no more of the things that God would want us to prevent. No more. No more. But we don't think we have the power. We don't think we have the ability. Let me tell you something. We don't without Him. But with Him, we can do all things, all that He has called for, all that He has required. Do you realize that in you today, this is if you're born again, the Father has allowed the Spirit of the living God to enter into you and resurrect you from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus Christ out of the tomb. The same power that has allowed the whole world to be brought into existence. The same power that God used to make everything. That same power resides in you this day. Man doesn't reside in you for you just to do anything you want to do. It doesn't reside in you so that you will be a better sinner. It resides in you so that you might do the very will of God. We are to let ourselves completely go to the place that we have surrendered all. Father, I beseech these folks to give themselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just their reasonable service, and to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of their minds so that they might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to do the will of God. We want to let ourselves live in such a way that our light so shines among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, and we don't have to worry about whether it can be done, because it's not us doing it, it's Him doing it through us. We cast all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. We can rejoice in the Lord always. We can be the people of God because He said so, not because we called for it, but because He's called for it. Let's live in the reality of who we are. We're His, and He is great. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Verse 15, and I will plant them upon their land. You'll be right where you're supposed to be, being the person you're supposed to be. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. God's got something for you. He's got you. He loves you. He's working in you. He's working through you. But tell the truth, it doesn't feel that way some days. Maybe many days. But we don't keep the scoreboard. He does. And in the end, this is the end of the book of Amos. He says, we're on the winning side. We win. Now, if this was a way of encouraging them, a way of showing them that they had a preferred future, a way of showing them that they were in the hands of a loving God who, in spite of their failures, in spite of their sins, in spite of their mess, in spite of all of that, if they could have that, then we should have that. We know that He's coming back. He's coming back for us. Now let's go back to the seventh chapter, starting at verse 1, seventh chapter of Amos. Starting at verse 1. Because I wanted to see where we were going to this freedom that we have. See where we were going to this joy that we can experience. See where we're going to. But look what they had to go through. They had to go through because of the sins of the community. They had to go through because of the sins of their nation. They had to go through because of their personal sins. They had to go through because they were a part of the whole. You may be living perfectly right, but you are a part of the whole of this community. You may be living okay, but you are a part of the whole of the United States. You are a part of the whole of the world. You are a part of this whole of humanity. You are a part of the whole. And so you're going to see things that are confusing. You're going to feel things that I didn't do that, or I don't understand that, or nobody told me that. Maybe I didn't learn what I should have learned. Maybe I didn't do what I should have. Wasn't there someone that could shake me and tell me, stop it? Chapter 7 in Amos, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, and behold, he formed the grasshoppers. Now, he's telling them this before he was going to create a famine. Little natural things, little grasshoppers. Grasshoppers aren't particularly big. But you know, you get enough of them pecking away, pecking away, pecking away, pecking away, pecking away. And suddenly they're a fearsome thing. And everything that you have grown. We had beetles in the garden this year. That was the weirdest thing. There were just so many of them. Not a single one of them was powerful enough to stop us from doing anything. But there was never just a single one of them. In fact, when you saw the first one, it's like, uh-oh, they're here. You know, and they devour by little paper cuts, like, you know, they devour and they devour and devour. What is it that's been devouring your soul? What's been devouring your stuff? What's been devouring your heart? Verse 2 says, and it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. And the Lord repented and said, okay, all right, I'll leave you a tree or two. I'm not going to starve you anymore. Then in verse 4, the Lord hath showed unto me, behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord, cease, I beseech thee. Who shall Jacob arise? For he is small. There were natural disasters that were happening that would be so scary and more than you can imagine. If you've ever seen a forest fire, it's totally out of control. If you've ever seen a flood, you can't handle it. There's nothing you can't stand against the flood. You can hope that it just won't get too high. Thinking about the walls of water that some of us saw with the recent floods down south. Can you imagine a wall of water coming and washing over us that's 30 feet high? What an amazing thing. But that's happening now. That's happening today. That's not some fairy tale. But the Lord says, nope, not going to kill y'all. Not all of you. Thus he showed me and said, behold, the Lord stood on a wall, verse 7, made by a plumb line. He actually stood beside the wall, and he held up a plumb line. And he says, this plumb line is what's straight. What you build without me, what you build without me is not straight. What you build without me isn't safe. What you build without me is not good enough. God's got a plumb line that he's looking at your life. But you know, after a while we get to the point where we say, Lord, I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear it. And that's what the world is saying. Here, this Amaziah, he's the the priest. He's a guy that's saying, no, you're not patriotic. You're just telling people that so you can have your way. You're not the right kind of person. You're not. Get out of here, Amos. Go back to some other part of the country and say that. You can't say that about our place. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent unto Jeroboam, the king of Israel, say, Amos hath conspired against thee. He's not saying good things about our land. Verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. This is not what I would have chosen to do. I wasn't a prophet. I was a businessman. I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. He says, you ain't, what's coming for you is no good. I'm telling you this. Too many people out there that are lying to you. Don't listen. Turn off the TV. Turn off the news. Turn off the internet. Stop listening to the junk out there. I don't care what side it's coming from. It's not God. Chapter 8. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. This is ripe fruit. There's a play on word in the Hebrew here that I really don't explain very well yet. But it's like the fruit is there. Then said Lord unto me, the end is come, and my people Israel, I will not again pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. Think about that. Will our church get to the place where we're just in mourning all the time? Hurting all the time? Sometimes I look around and I say, Lord, where's the power? Where's the power? Why aren't we making more change? If they wipe First Baptist off the map today, would anybody but us notice? Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, verse 4, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? We're going through the rituals. We're going through the rituals. But nothing's changing, nothing's getting better. God's not called for that. So we could go on with that, but let's go to chapter 9, verse 1. Because chapter 9, verse 1 is when he begins to talk about the place of worship. The place of worship. And this is what he says. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. And he said, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea. Thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil, not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. And it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories. That's our God. He's building in the heaven. And he hath founded his troop in the earth. Are we his warriors? He's founded his troop in the earth, and he calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. You know, the third verse in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which I quoted 1 and 2 before that, but the third verse says, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't get too excited about being called of God, because he can call a whole bunch of people. Here in verse 7, are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, the Nubians? Are you not just like them, those people that are far from what we think of as the established church today, those people in that particular case that was very much south of them in Africa? O children of Israel, saith the Lord, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt? Didn't he take them from another place that was supposedly mighty, but God had rule over that? And the Philistines from Kaphtor and the Syrians from Kir, didn't I handle all of that? You're not special. You're just the people that I call, and that makes you special. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom. He's looking at us. He's looking at us, and I will destroy from off the face of the earth, saying that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. Rough stuff is here. Rough stuff is coming. But he's going to keep us. That's why I did the end first, because the end shows that we're going to make it. But let's live like people that are going to make it. Let's live like people who know that their God is in charge. Let's live like people filled with the Spirit of the living God. Let's live like people that have joy. Let's live like people that have peace. But don't think just because you know him that you're going to survive happily if you won't serve him properly. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. I need for us to get to in our minds and our hearts that we should live in a way that glorifies him now, so that we could be like verses 14 and 15. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. He wants to bless us. Do you want to be blessed? Would you bow with me? Lord, to be blessed, we must surrender. I don't know where people are on this spectrum of things that we could ask, but I'm calling today for people to say, I surrender to Jesus. I confess my sin. And I believe that you, Father, are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know I can't do this on my own. But praise God, I don't have to do it on my own. I'm doing it because you've called me. And I thank you and I praise you and I receive you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the guys are playing today, if God is moving in your heart, feel free to come forward. Feel free to confess your absolute need of him. I confess my need of him.